Welcome. Thank you for joining us here at ICGC Kairos Temple Podcast. Pastor Prince Nyako is the head pastor of ICGC Kairos Temple, serving under the leadership of Dr. Mensah Otabo. Pastor Prince is a dynamic preacher of God's unadulterated word, characterized with a strong prophetic insight and prayer ministry. He is a strong advocate for discipline and order in the body of Christ, with messages centered on fasting, holiness, prayer, and integrity. And now, to today's message.
Labrando Shantavahaya, Lebra Katalabo Koshadaba. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Le Kadaba Baba Baba Shandaba, Labado Shatakabaya. We thank you that you have not kept silent over our lives. We thank you that, Lord, you have preserved our life. We thank you that, Lord, you have preserved us from the hands of the wicked man. We thank you, O God. Ratoni Karadaya, Lebranda Baha. Shandia, Ipala da Bosha Papaha, Landa da Bahaya. We thank you that, Lord, you have filled our faces with glory. We thank you that, Lord, you have bestowed on us honor. We thank you that, Lord, we are experiencing your power. We thank you that, Lord, we are experiencing breakthrough on every side. We thank you that, Lord, we are advancing on every side. We thank you that, Lord, we are triumphing on every side. We thank you that, Lord, the enemy is on its knees. We thank you that, Lord, you have made this house a place of power, a place of blessing, a place of testimonies. We thank you that, Lord, great things are beginning to happen to us and our families in the name of Jesus. We thank you that, Lord, you did not allow our enemies to triumph over us. We thank you that, Lord, you are advancing us in 2024. Keep thanking God. Lift your voice and thank the Lord. We thank you, O God, that the wilderness is becoming a vegetative ground. We thank you that, Lord, our fruits are beginning to manifest. In the name of Jesus, every labor we are laboring this year, we thank you that, Lord, we are going to receive favors and we are going to bear fruits in the mighty name of Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. We exalt your name, Lord. We thank you for the gift of the word of the Lord. That, Lord, as we are about to receive your word, our lives will never be the same again. We thank you that the word is going to purify us. We thank you that the word is going to sanctify us. We thank you that the word is going to empower us. We thank you that the word is going to make a way for us. Where there seems to be no way, we give you honor, we give you all praise, we adore you, Lord. We say precious is your presence to us, and precious are your words in our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Please take your seat. Kadavalo Shabranda. Tonight, I'm zeroing in on the diligence. We have done a lot of overviews on the subject. We have done a lot of background. We have said we must be diligent, we must be this, and we must be that. But if we don't zero in on the subject in the various areas of our lives, then we will fail to achieve what we are supposed to achieve. After knowing that we have to be diligent, we have to apply it to which areas of our lives. There are specific areas that when we zero in this character, we are going to benefit greatly. And tonight, I'm going to take you into an area of diligence that if we commit to, our lives will never be the same again. I want you to close your eyes and put your right hand on your ear and pray that Holy Spirit come and sit by me and explain your word to me in details. Lift your voice and pray. Invite the Holy Spirit to come and sit by you to explain the word of the Lord to you as I preach. Lift your voice and pray. Lembo shagranda baba koshedede baha. Father, we are praying, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come and speak to us. Come and explain your word to us. As Pastor is preaching, Holy Spirit, open up the scriptures in our spirit. Open our spirit man to understand what is being taught. In the name of Jesus, we pray that, Lord, we are living here with clear understanding. No ambiguity. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your spirit. As your hand is on your right ear, Lord, speak to my spirit. Lebro sovalana antivando segrendes. Lebra katalaba baba. Speak to me, Lord. Let it be your prayer. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. Laba kashada labaya. Lebrando shata kaya mahadas. Le grande bakashanda laba. Le baladaba mashanda labaya. Rababo shakatala babaya. Radalaba baba shada laba. Let the spirit of understanding, let the spirit of wisdom, let the spirit of clarity be released. Let our heart be a good ground for the word of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Le kadala baba 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 roshanda la baba baba shanda bahaya in the name of Jesus. Tonight I preach on the subject, the power of instant obedience. The power of instant obedience. So I'm teaching on the subject, the power of instant obedience. One of the calling, if it's not even one, the ultimate call of the believer is the call to obedience. So let's look at the parable of the two sons in Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 to 30. Matthew 21, 28 to 30. I read from the NIV version of the Bible. He said, but what do you think about this? A man with two sons told the older boy, son, go out and work in the vineyard today. Then the son answered, no, I won't go. But later he changed his mind and went anyway. Then the father told the other son, you go. And he said, yes, sir, I will. But he didn't go. Verse 31. Which of the two obeyed his father? They replied, Jesus. Let's keep going. The first. Then Jesus explained his meaning. So they said that, oh, it's the first one. And then Jesus began to explain. He said, I tell you the truth. Corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you do. For John the Baptist came and showed you the right way to live, but you didn't believe him. While tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even when you saw this happening, you refuse to believe him and repent of your sins. The power of instant obedience. The power of instant obedience. Every child of God is supposed to be a child of obedience. In the Bible, you can choose to say, the children of disobedience in the shoes of the children of the devil. So the children of obedience are actually the children of God. The man who wants to be diligent in following the instructions of God is supposed to be that man who will master the art of instant obedience to God's word. The other time when I was teaching on diligence, I said that there were three areas that God required us to be diligent. Number one, in following spiritual commands. Number two, in our career, in our businesses, in our profession. And then number three, it talks about our financial area. But I want to zero in on the first one. The first one
If you have to follow the instructions of God diligently, you must master the act of instant obedience. When God speaks, you must obey it instantly. And this is why I'm teaching on the subject, the power of instant, like prompt, real-time obedience. Real-time obedience. When God wants to take a man very far, the man must be ready to walk in instant obedience. It is a mark in the scriptures. We are going to walk through the scriptures very soon. That if God is going to take you very far, if you are going to go very far with God in your walk with him, you must be a man or a woman who walks in instant obedience. God desires that every child of his will believe this principle. That if you will grow in the spirit, if you will grow spiritually, if you will become a stable child of God, you must walk in instant obedience. Now, delayed obedience is actually disobedience. To delay in obeying an instruction is literally a disobedience. Because there is no master who wants to issue a command and then he expects you to do it later. Anytime you do or you obey an instructions later, you have dishonored the person who gave the command. When a command is issued, the faster it is obeyed, the more honorable it is. So a delayed obedience or a half obedience is disobedience. And a lot of us are in this category. We are not outrightly disobeying, but we delay and then we do half obedience. Half obedience, delayed obedience, is equal to disobedience. Now, the psalmist in Psalm 119 verse 60, a soft version. I think if you have GNT, you can give us by NLT. I will hurry without delay to obey your commands. I will hurry. These are the words of the psalmist. We all want to have the blessing of David. We all want to encounter the blessings that God sent to David. But this is his heart. He said, I will hurry and without delay, because a delayed obedience is disobedience. When God speaks, we must be in a hurry to obey. We must be hasty to obey God's word. Many of us are not seeing God well in our life because we are not in a hurry to obey God's commandment. We are not excited, the TLB. We must act in quickness. There must be a passion to obey God's word in real time. God wants to be the director of your life. The TLB version of Psalm 119 verse 60. God wants to be the director of our lives. He is actually the director of our lives. But maybe we have given the directorship of our life to something. He said, verse 60, they put it together. I thought about the wrong direction in which I was headed and turned around and came running back to you. So there is a, when God gives a direction, and we go off the direction, we must run back to the direction God is giving. That is when we begin to walk in disobedience. But I'm talking about obedience, obeying God in real time. Every instruction from God comes with a blessing. The quicker you obey the word, the quicker you receive the blessing. So before, go back to NLT, before you start binding the spirit of delay, you must understand that there must be a commandment to obey. Before you start binding the spirit of delay, every power that is delaying my blessing, it could be the power that is denying you the ability to quickly obey God's word. When Ezekiel saw the dry bones and God was interacting with him, when God said he should prophesy, he didn't complain. He didn't delay. There was a straight obedience. He began to prophesy to the dry bones. When God speaks to a man who wants to prosper, this year God wants us to make great progress. And listen to me, if you will not hurriedly obey God's word, if we will not promptly obey God's word, if we will not instantly obey God's word and keep God's word somewhere until when we think we are ready to obey, God will not hasten his word to perform. Yes. There is no parent who wants to give an instruction to his children and then he waits for the time the children want to obey the word. Hallelujah. God wants you to allow him to direct. We usually want God to guide us. But guidance is never devoid of direction. If you want God to guide you, then God must direct us. And when God directs us, we must follow the direction. That is when we begin to stay in the blessing of the Lord. May you not stay outside the blessing of the Lord. Because lack of obedience keeps people outside the blessing. Lack of obedience or disobedience or delayed obedience will cause you to lag behind the blessing of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 verses. Lagada Bahayas. He says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Seek his will. Give me the KJV of this. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. In all the ways of your destiny, in all the ways of 2024, God wants us to seek his will. He wants us to acknowledge him in every way. Our life is filled with many ways. There are turns and there are curves in life. And God says that any way you get to, he wants you to acknowledge or seek his will. He wants us to buy into his direction concerning our lives. But most of the times we leave God's direction. Most of us go our own way. And when we get lost, we want to blame God as if when we were going, God was with us. We don't inquire from the Lord. We move with what is moving. If everyone is going this way, you also want to go this way. But he said, in all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. I pray that as I'm preaching, you are going to come to the point where you always ask God, which direction? We have stopped asking God, which direction? We think we know the way. And we just get to a point and we get missing. Many lives are stranded because they are missing. God wants instant obedience. Kofi, go this direction. Just go. We delay. And when we delay our blessings. If God is your director, if we allow God to direct our path and direct our destiny, the movie of our lives will be very beautiful. Yeah, every movie has a director behind. Every movie has a director behind. And look, many Christians will fail because we direct our own life. Many Christians are failing because we walk in our own understanding. Many Christians are struggling. We are not supposed to struggle. Because every solution is in the scriptures. Everything we need to land in the place of success are there in God's word.
But we delay in obedience. I'm going to show you by scriptures. Don't worry. We want God to guide us, but we don't want to follow his directions. When God says we should go right, we want to go left. When God says we should do it this way, we want to do it another way. And that is what brought the devil, Lucifer, to become devil. Disobedience. We cannot be praying in tongues and be walking in disobedience or delayed obedience. And that's what I'm talking about. And listen to this. Instant obedience is a sign that a man loves God. Instant obedience is a sign that the heart of a man is filled with the love of God. When you find out that you are struggling to instantly obey God's word, you come to church, pastor preaches, you read the Bible, God is talking to you. You come for Sunday, you come for Tuesday, you come for training and all that, and God is speaking to you, but you are not able to obey it instantly. You must begin to check the love you have for God in your heart. Yeah. We must begin to check it, because instant obedience is a sign that a man loves God. John chapter 14, verse 15, NLT. John chapter 14, verse 15 said, if you love me, obey my commandments. A proof that we love God is not the how we shout in prayer or shout in praise and worship or even dance to the Lord. It's beyond that. The weight of our love is determined by the weight of our obedience to God's commandment. God is the director of the steps of the righteous man. Every step of our life, God wants to be involved. So he said that, thy word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. God wants to be involved with every step. We must not take 10 steps and now start looking for God. Yeah, we must not take 20 steps and now wants to take a step that God is involved. So what happened to the 20 steps? But God wants to be involved. So he made his word a light unto our path. So the path you are going to take, his word, he wants to be involved. And then even the single steps we take, the single decisions, and the single choices we are making, God wants to be involved. He never wants us to take steps without his permission, because he is the director of our lives. Go to Psalm 37, verse 23. If you don't follow this God well, you will never get Christianity right. And these are things that people have run and run and run, and they didn't pick up this truth. There is no way you can walk with God to a certain level, to a certain stability, to a certain establishment. There is, you see, that is why sin has taken hold of many lives. That is why people are, Christians are struggling and cohabiting with sin, and they think that, oh, it's normal. I'm once a Christian, always a Christian. When the seed of instant obedience dies in you, you will struggle and struggle and struggle. Yeah. And these are discipleship messages, and they are not that common. Because everybody wants you to bring a testimony back that you got $5,000, you got $20,000. But what is happening to your soul? What shall it profit a man when he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Because at the end of the day, it's the 6 feet we all fall in and take nothing. But what happens to the soul? The value of the soul must be our main concern. Things that are spiritual, because you cannot be spiritually relevant and be physically irrelevant. If truly you are spiritually relevant, you can never be earthly irrelevant. The Bible said that the steps of a good man are ordered, are instructed, are directed by the Lord. The steps of a righteous man. The steps
of a good man are ordered by the Lord, are ordered. Take this. Don't take this step. Take two steps. Don't take three steps. This is order. When God is with a man, he orders his life. And he delighted in his way because he ordered the steps. God will not be delighted in any way he has not ordered. When God is ordering your steps, it is not like man ordering your steps. The ways of God are higher than the ways of man. And the thoughts of God are higher than the thoughts of man. So God will not direct our lives according to how man will direct your life. I pray that from today you have that consciousness and you will walk in instant obedience in the name of Jesus. Many people are in torment. They are in church, but they are in torment. We are in church, but we are dry. We are in church, but we are struggling. We are in church, but we cannot even hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. We are in church, but we are trying. We are living like how others who don't have the Holy Spirit are trying to sort out their lives. Many of us, just because we are not walking in instant obedience, what did God convict your heart on? What did God speak to you when Pastor was preaching on Sunday? What is God speaking to you on? A lot of people are graduating in high levels of sin just because we have walked away from the word of instant, prompt, real-time obedience. Real-time obedience. Real-time. And God is a God of timing. What you must do today and you didn't do today will cost you. There was a season that Jesus must die. And that time came. There was a season that Jesus must not die. So even though the people pursued him, they could not kill him because it was not his time. Timing with God is very important. There's a time to be a child and there's a time to be a teacher. There's a time to be a boy and there's a time to be a man. There's a time to be a child and there's a time to be mature. Timing is everything. So Paul said that whilst you should be teachers, you are still in need of milk. So the timing of obedience, listen, I'm showing you, he said, they that know their God, they shall walk strong. This is how we walk strong in the Lord. Instant obedience. What did God tell you? What did the word tell you? What did you pick from the teaching? Flaming altars. What did God tell you? Whilst you were listening, what were the words that hit you? What were the words that brought your life into the reflection of the word? It is not just for us to write it down. It's not just for us to laugh and shout about it. What did God tell you? And God knows what he told you. And he's expecting instant obedience. Because it is in that instant obedience that he reveals himself to us. God never reveals himself to men who don't obey him. Yeah. Obedience is what causes God to reveal himself to a man. I want to grow in the Lord. I want to be more spiritual. I want to... You cannot escape that key of obedience. Each direction of God will demand instant obedience. Write it down. Instant. When God speaks, obey. He said, cast your bread upon the waters. Just cast your bread upon the waters. He said, Peter, launch out into the deep. Peter said, we have labored all night and we caught nothing. But at your word, we are going. But at your word. When God speaks to you, don't wait for explanation. He waits for your obedience. When God speaks to you, don't wait for explanation. He waits for our obedience. And when obedience is in place, his blessings begin to flow in our lives. Obedience is perfected when we hasten to do it and not with delay. Why has your blessings delayed? Could it be that you have delayed in obeying God? Could it be that you have delayed in leaving Egypt? Could it be that you have delayed in building a strong prayer life? There are certain realms of your life you cannot enter until you do certain things. And sometimes God reveals it to you. Make sure that this season you have entered into this year, make sure you don't miss your tithe. God speaks to us differently. Yes, we must not turn the church into there's a uniform or universal way God is dealing with everybody at the same level. No, God deals with us individually. There is something he's going to tell you. God may lay the burden of prayer on your heart for something, for somebody, for an area in your life. And he tells you, go on that prayer. Be in that mood. Don't let any old prophet change your mind on it, because God is dealing with you. He said, Abraham, take your son and go to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him for me. Even his wife could not stop him. Even his servants could not stop him. When God speaks to you, you must be instant in obeying it. That is the only grounds you begin to grow. Growth is not guaranteed when you are playing in the kingdom. Growth is only guaranteed when you are walking in obedience. Instant obedience, not delayed. Not delayed. Not, you are dragging your feet to obey. You can't grow. That is why many cannot grow. That is why the church is filled with plenty of people, but few army men. Few army men. There are few matured Christians in our generation because we have left that power. There is power in instant obedience. There is power. And I see somebody being baptized in this power, in the mighty name of Jesus. You see, when you plant a seed, there is a time the seed must sprout. When it delays in sprouting, it is going to outrightly die or be destroyed. Because when you plant a seed, there are some number of days the farmer is expecting the seed to sprout. You have to learn to obey God instantly so your blessing does not delay. You must learn to obey God instantly so that you don't complicate your life. God works in the realm of obedience. God works in the realms of obedience. Don't let anybody deceive you. God works in the realm of obedience. I'm going to show you by scriptures very soon. The blessings of God in his word are only released when we instantly obey. There are blessings. Just imagine it. Have an imagination. Like a water in a balloon. You need to puncture it for the water to pour. So as you see the balloon is a commandment. When you puncture its obedience, then the water begins to pour. The water is the blessing. God's blessings are wrapped up in his commandment. And if a man decides to obey God, he begins to enjoy the blessings in that way. I see you enjoying God's blessings this year. May you walk, let us walk away from disobedience. Let us walk away from the path of disobedience. Let us walk away from any company, any group of friends, anything that lures you into disobedience. Disconnect yourself, because the more you walk in disobedience, the more you delay in growing in the Lord. And God is looking for growing people. God wants us to grow. God wants his word to have an impact in our lives. Now, this is why many people can be in church and the word of God has no impact in their lives. This is why you can be in church and the word of God has no impact in your life, because you don't want to obey the word. We don't want to obey the word. We don't obey the word. Because until you obey God's word concerning a matter, you will never see the blessing it comes with. And God is patient. He'll be waiting for you for the day you decide to begin to obey the word. And when you decide to begin to obey the word, you will see the blessings being released into your life. A diligent child of God will be eager to obey God's word. Psalm 119 verse 32. A diligent child of God will be eager to obey God's word. He said, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Give me the message version of this. Labra kashatakaya. He said, I will run the course you lay out for me if you will just show me how. The psalmist is eager to run. When you hear running, he's talking about energy, passion, direction. He said, I will run towards your commandment.
I will run to lay. May we have that. May God find people in this house that are passionate to hold on to his word. You see, God will not bless you outside his word. When you meet God today, he won't give you money. Even though you may need money physically, he won't give you money. When you meet God today, maybe you need a car. He won't give you a car. When you meet God today, maybe you need marriage. He won't give you marriage. He will give you his word. It is in the word that all those blessings are. And look at the psalmist. He said, I will run. Give me the NLT version. It's very interesting over there. He said, I will pursue your commands, for you expand my understanding. May you be a woman. May you be a man who pursues the word of the Lord, who pursues the instructions of the Lord, who pursues the commandment of the Lord. Look, in disobedience will punish your life. If you walk in disobedience, it will destroy you. It will damage a lot of things about your destiny. It can delay everything. Disobedience can delay. Look at the prodigal son. He lost all his inheritance. He picked his inheritance and literally handed it over to disobedience. And the spirit of disobedience destroyed it. He came back home. The father restored him back to sonship. But I don't know about inheritance. Because when the senior brother came, and the senior brother was complaining, he said, the father told the senior brother, everything I have is yours. That means the inheritance of the younger brother has been destroyed by the spirit of disobedience. There are many Christians struggling. They are praying. You see, you can be very prayerful and very disobedient to God. And what prayer does, obedience cannot do. No. Until prayer is said in obedience, you will never see the power of prayer. Is that the reason why you are praying and nothing is happening? I don't know. I'm not judging you. I'm just painting a picture for you. Is that the reason why you are fasting and nothing is happening? I don't know. Because there seems to be one of the things I'm struggling with now is the wave in the Christian atmosphere. It's like we have shifted to a certain place and left a certain path. So we are telling people to run when the people don't have the capacity to run. We are saying, go and prosper when the people have not built the capacity to prosper. Because if you are thrown into the battlefield and you don't know how to use the javelin, you don't know how to use the shield, no matter the numbers they give to you, the example is like the Russia and Ukraine fight. NATO can give every equipment to Ukraine. Give them whatever. Russia is still taking more lands. More lands. Today they took another one. It's not about you can give money to a man with a poor mind. The man will get finished. And nothing will happen. We must prepare ourselves. Look, just be in your quiet time with the Lord. Have in your personal walk with the Lord, develop the spirit of instantly obeying God. And watch how your life will become. It will shorten your prayer. You will enjoy Christianity. You will have, listen, in fact, the Christians who obey God's word are the Christians who have personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the Holy Spirit loves to fellowship with Christians who obey God's word. Because he comes to honor God's word. He comes to honor Jesus. That is why the Holy Spirit is in our lives to honor Jesus, to exalt Jesus in our lives. When you see the power of the Holy Ghost moving, at the end of the day, the movement and the manifestation of the Spirit must exalt Christ and not a man. Are you here with me? So if you walk with God in obedience, you will begin to literally have that friend called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not just a power. It's not just a feeling. It's a being. It's a being. You can literally feel him. I was talking to a Christian, not a pastor. One of these days, we were talking.
And I told him that I don't know why there's a particular time at dawn that when I'm studying my Bible and praying and worshiping, somebody enters the room. And immediately the atmosphere will change. And the scripture, the room will brighten up. The scriptures will be so sweet. The sleep will disappear. The body tiredness will disappear. Somebody enter the room. And that is the Holy Spirit. And you can literally feel that there is somebody in the room with you. And the scriptures come alive. It's like you don't want that moment to disappear. When you walk in instant obedience, you will enjoy your Christian life. You will grow up. It is a privilege to know the instructions of God. When God gives you an instruction, it's a privilege to you, because not everybody has been given the instructions of the Lord. When God comes to you and gives you an instruction, it means that he has an interest in you. It means that there is something about destiny at stake with your life. When God gives you an instruction, it's a great privilege, and you must hold on to that instruction. Yes, you must hold on. Every parent will walk to the child and give an instruction to the child. The other time I saw my son playing with wire. Though it was not naked, I told him, you don't hold a wire. You don't put it in your mouth. I was giving instructions. And the blessing will be that when he obeys it, he will never be shocked with wire. God does not give instructions to anybody. So if you are privileged, God comes to knock at your door and say, Akosua, yes, it's a privilege. It's not just a right, it's a privilege. Psalm 119 verse 29. NLT. Psalm 119 verse 29. After this, I'll show you three blessings or power for instantly obeying God's word. Instantly. Yeah. He said, keep me from lying to myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your instructions. It's a privilege to know God's instructions. It's a privilege to have God's instructions, that God gave you his instructions. Those words are so precious. Will you get the words of God? Will you get the words of Jesus? Like, Holy Spirit gives you a command, and we have taken it for granted. When God gives us instruction, when we read the Bible, we don't take it serious. We don't. We just read it. We come to church. That is why a lot of people complain that charismatics are doing so many programs and then people are not being transformed. You hear word. We are listening to the word, but we are not obeying. We are listening to the word, but we are not obeying. We are listening to the word, plenty sermons, this and that. But when there is no obedience, there will not be transformation. The impact of the word rises on obedience. Let me tell you today, the impact of the word rises on obedience. The prophet met the widow and began to interact with the widow. And the widow, he said, go and bake cake and bring to me. And when you bring it, the oil will not dry and the flour will not finish. So the thing is that you can only enjoy God's word when you obey. Are you here with me? Prosperity is in obeying God's word. Prosperity is in obeying God's word. Increase is in obeying God's word. I see an increase coming upon you. I see you obeying God's word. And you see, obedience can be costly. I'm coming there. In the 3 points, you see, obedience can cost you, can be difficult. It comes with pain and inconvenience. Obeying God will not always be nice. Obeying God is not always exciting. Obeying the voice of God is beyond what you want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a privilege to hear God's word, to give you an instruction and forbid you. Have you heard God's word concerning the step you want to take? Have you heard God's word concerning what you are planning about? You have to hear God's word. You have to get to know, what is God's interest in my next step? God must be interested in it. He doesn't waste destinies. If he created me, he will not waste my destiny. If he created you, if you are created in the new image, you are created in Christ, you are a new creation of God, God will not create you and not be interested in your steps. Be careful the decisions you take. Be careful what you do. It's very important that you don't just take any, just watch me. You will not just do anything to get distracted in life. Follow God. Let obedience be your call. Let God know that you are interested in what he wants to do for you. You see, I have too many examples, but I want to finish this sermon today. I don't want to do part two. I have about 20 minutes. You can go away. Listen, God does not leave us. We walk away from him. And we walk away from him in our disobedience. This is what happens. When you live in disobedience, disobedience is actually sin. Every act of disobedience is sin. Okay, so I wonder why some charismatic Christians don't want, or pastors don't want the church to talk about sin. Because it is because of sin that Jesus came to die for us. So when you walk in disobedience for a long time, your spirit dies to the sensitivity of the spirit. You become fleshly. Nothing of the spirit flows in you again. You will pray, you won't feel anything. You will pray, you will fast, nothing. Because it is a precious thing for God to say, "Thus saith the Lord to you." The Bible said that he has exalted his word far above his name. So when a man takes the word and obeys, you are actually honoring the word of the Lord. Our obedience is an honor to the word of the Lord. It is an abuse on God's grace for us to continually disobey God's word. It's an abuse on the grace of God that he speaks to us and we don't. He said, "Keep me from lying to myself." A lot of us are lying to ourselves. Give me that. You see, the psalmist was in a, he was desiring to hear what God is saying. He wants God to speak to him. "God, don't let me deceive myself." It's possible. That is the actual meaning. Give me another version, amplified version, quickly. He said, "Remove me from the way of falsehood. May you not walk in falsehood and think that you are walking in the right path." It's one of the most dangerous paths. Say amen. Yeah. You can be walking in falsehood and think that you are right, you are right, you are right. Only for you to see at the end that you were deceiving yourself. And the service was prayed that, "Don't let me walk in the way of falsehood. Remove me from the way of falsehood and unfaithfulness, and graciously grant me your word." He was literally begging God that, "God, give me your word." And he said it at the other side that he will pursue the word. And he said in Psalm 119 verse 11, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart. Have I treasured in my life. Have I held precious in my life that I may not sin against thee." I see you becoming one of the children of God who instantly obey God's word. You see, obeying God's word. Okay, let me move to the three things that happens to you when you obey God's word. Three things that happens to you when you obey. Only three things tonight. I had about 10, but I'll do three. Number one, instant obedience pleases God. Remember, obedience is a product of diligence. So the first thing that happens to you when you walk in instant obedience is that it pleases God. God becomes pleased in you. He takes pleasure in you. God takes pleasure in his children who instantly obey. Ask every parent. The child you send and he instantly does it is the child that you take pleasure in. Is the child that you grow, you constantly grow confidence in. God takes pleasure
in our lives when we walk in instant obedience. Oh, I'll do it later. God has no interest in that. Oh, I'll wait and see. No, when God gives an instruction and we instantly obey, it pleases him. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 to 23. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 to 23. He said, and Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. It means that obedience comes before our service. Obedience comes before our offering. Obedience comes before whatever we are doing for the Lord. Obedience must come before what we do for God. Obedience comes before the work of God. If you don't, there are people who are working for God who don't obey God. Yes, they are. You can be in the church and be working for God, but you don't obey God. So he's saying that God is not even interested in fat offerings as he's interested in obedience. Has God said he doesn't want offerings? But Pastor, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 7, he says, you bring all the tithe and the offerings to my... Yes, he said it. But he's not interested in those offerings than obedience. And this is where a chunk of the church is. We think that when we bring offerings to the Lord, we bribe God, we shut him. God is not a particular country's policeman. Yeah. God is not somebody we can bribe. You can't bribe God with $1 million. You can't bribe God with $10 billion. No, he said the cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to me. The silver and the gold are mine. God, you can't bribe him. He puts obedience before our work. He puts obedience before whatever you are doing for him. Before you present your work you have done for him, he will look at our obedience. He treasures obedience than fat offerings. He treasures obedience than the work we have done. Because it is the work we do in obedience is what stands in his fire. I see you working for God in great obedience. I see you working for God in, may our labors not be wasted. It's not only the devil that can waste your work. God can waste your work. He said, I'll pass the work through fire. Yeah. In 1 Corinthians where the Bible was talking about love. Take us there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Makato Shabrata, soft version, so that he said, though if I could speak all the languages of each and of angels, of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I will only be a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. The next verse going. He said, if I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I will be nothing. Verse 3. This is the part I like. If I gave everything I have to the poor, it means if I carried everything. You see, so for Cornelius' offering to become a monument, a memorial before the Lord, it means that he did it in the spirit of obedience. He did it. You see, it was not just an armed robber who has gone to rob and has been given to God. No. God does not honor such offerings. In fact, the offering of Cain desecrated, the offering was rejected, and Cain too was rejected. That means the type of offering we even give to God, he checks it not with the amount, not with what we bring, but with the spirit with which we brought it. Ananias and Sapphira, I'm giving you examples that, you see, that is why maybe our offerings are not doing what it's supposed to do. I've given, I'm not seeing anything. You won't see, in fact, you were not supposed to see anything. You are not supposed to, because faith worketh in love.
Your faith that is not in love, it will not work. He said, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrifice my body, I could boast about it. But if I did it, I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Obedience is what makes everything works in the kingdom. Obeying God's word. When you obey God's word, you please God. You please God. You don't have to understand God's commandment in order to obey Him. We don't need to understand. You don't need to understand every detail. All that God wants you to know is to obey Him. Yes, just obey His commandment. He won't give you a commandment when He knows you cannot. Every commandment God gave to you, He knows you can obey. Every single commandment God gave to you, He knows you can obey. So when we don't obey God's word, we are saying, God, I'm not ready for my next level. When we don't obey God's word, we are saying, God, I'm not ready to grow. God, as you don't obey God's word, it means you cannot grow. You cannot go for the next one. Because you see, when Ezekiel saw the vision, the water was at his ankle. It came to the knee, came to the waist, came to the shoulders, and then he began to float. God's word will only increase in our lives if we continue to obey Him. If we continue to obey Him. God declared Jesus. Did you read in the Bible, Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, when God said Jesus was what? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Yeah, according to the KJV. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God was pleased in the life of Jesus. Why? I'll show you. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 7 to 9. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 to 9. And he said, who in the days of his flesh, talking about Jesus, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared, verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learnt he obedience by the many things he suffered. Who told you when you're obeying God, everything will go smoothly? He learned obedience through the many things he suffered. Me, I can't serve God again. I'm serving Him and I'm suffering. I'm serving Him and I'm suffering. The Bible said Jesus learned obedience. Every step of obedience came with suffering. And then verse 9 was very interesting. Verse 9, he said, and being made perfect, He became, if the Bible is yours, underline He became or highlight it. He became. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Because He learned obedience by the many things He suffered, He became a standard. He left a divine pattern. Listen. Ancestors can be good or bad. But if you will be an ancestor of blessing, if you will be a divine ancestor in your family, you must become a child of God that instantly obeys God's word. When he obeyed God, it became a pattern that anybody that obeys God will have eternal life. I pray that spirit comes upon you. Your struggle will come to an end the day you begin to, the day you take a vow that I'm going to do everything to obey God. It takes God to obey God. I said it takes God to obey God. When we have a willing heart, grace for obedience comes upon us. And may you receive grace to obey God. May you receive grace to obey God. Jesus walked in obedience whilst he was suffering, but he left a divine pattern. And remember, what again are we living for? God created us for his own glory. Isaiah 43:7. So if we are living, everything we do must please him. Even everyone that he is called by his name. Are you called by his name? Are you called by his name? Yeah. If you are called by his name, how do I know that you are called by his name? If you are born again, you are called by his name. The Bible said that he has put his name upon us. We must, he said, for I have created him for my glory. God created you, not for your wife, not for your husband, not for your family. He created you for his own glory. So whatever you are going to do, whatever step we are going to do, whatever we are engaged in, at the end of the day, it must bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, instant obedience brings joy to the heart of the righteous man. For you to be happy, you saw what I put on the platform today. It's not in material things. Joy is not in material things. Joy is not in material things. You see, I am not that type that is easily impressed. You can do all the gymnastics and do all the stop gap happiness. But what is written in the Bible? No man can change it. For you to be happy in the Lord, for us to walk in joy overflow, for you to be a child of God who is in joy, you must obey God. You must walk in obedience. Yeah. You must walk in obedience. When we walk in disobedience or delayed obedience, guilt enters our mind. And listen, when guilt enters your mind, your ability to process God's word is taken away. Then what are you going to become? Because it's the word that makes us. It's the word that builds us. It's the word that transforms us. The conscience of the believer is a conscience of conviction. Our conscience is a convictor. So anytime we walk in delayed obedience, it will convict us. Anytime we walk in disobedience, it will convict us. And when you are walking in disobedience and your conscience is convicting you, guilt is being produced. And that guilt weakens your mind to accept, process, and assimilate the word of God. So many believers are walking in great guilt conscience. Why? Because we are committed to a life of sin. And yet, it's like we want to be happy. You cannot be happy in the Lord when you are living that life. That is why I'm telling you by scripture, that is why you are not happy. Yeah. It is not a new car that will make. New car will make you happy for 1 week. A new phone will make you happy. Marriage, wedding, it will make. It is not the source of joy. The source of joy in the believer's life is that believer who obeys God, who sticks to God's word, who says, I will obey God irrespective of what happens. The Hebrew boy said, we are not going to bow. We will not bow. We will not bow. We know that our God that we serve, we know the God of Israel, Jehovah, Chikenu, he will deliver us. But even if he does not deliver us, we are not bowing. That is what I'm talking about. Staying in the place of obedience is what qualifies us for our next level. Diligence. Daniel, stop praying. The next day he went, he opens the window and prays to his God. They were taking him to the lion's den. They gave him the last chance. He still, they said, throw him in. The next day they came, Daniel was intact. Obedience. Obedience will grant you joy in the Lord. We are doing everything. This boyfriend, this girlfriend, this drinking, doing this. It does not change your life. It will not bring any transformation. It will not bring any reformation. Reformation is on the grounds of obedience. All these gymnastics in church, choreography, all that, they don't change anything. What changes you is the scripture, is the obedience to God's word. Little by little, precept upon precept, line upon line, try it and fail, but try it again. Try it and fail, but try it again. Try it and fail. Make conscious effort and attempt to hold on to the word. Pray that God help me to obey the word. Lord, help me to obey the word. It should be one of the prayers we are praying always. But some of you, every day when you are praying, God, I want my marriage. God, my marriage. God, my marriage. No. We need to grow in obeying God. It should be a prayer topic. Because that is when you'll be happy. When you meet a depressed child of God, the propensity that the child is walking in disobedience is high. Because it's only children that don't obey their parents in the house that are not happy. When you enter a house and somebody, a child is crying, or the child is moody, and in some way you ask him, what did you do? Mommy said that I was playing with them. Mommy said I shouldn't play, so me, I'm not talking to anybody. That is disobedience. That's what disobedience to the word does to us. We grow not happy in the Lord. We are supposed to be happy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If you meet a Christian who is not happy, yeah, you have to check his Insta. Are you obeying God instantly? Who told you it's easy? They love not their life unto death. Where are those kind of Christians? Where we don't. So you go to every church on Tuesday, the numbers are low. Go there on prophetic days, apostolic days, or days that they are breaking bread, the place is full. What is the difference between that and a club? Because the day they say they are going to do party in a nightclub, the place overflows and people stand outside. But they meet. One day Jesus preached a word. Say, if you don't eat my flesh, you don't drink my blood, you cannot be part of my kingdom. A lot of them left him. Yes. There are many churches that will be empty if we start preaching about only the blood of Jesus, only the word of the Lord. If we start preaching about eternity, the church, every charismatic church, a lot of them will be empty. Because that's not what we want to hear. One day, the inventor of Titanic, he was rubbishing God. No wonder Titanic sank. Yeah. He was rubbishing. You can't rubbish God. You can't leave God outside your life as a Christian. You have to obey him. It comes with great cost. You lose friends. You can even lose your beloved because of that. You can lose her. You can lose him because you want to toe a certain line of obedience. You can even lose a job because you may find yourself in a place that does not encourage righteous living. You cannot be there. You can't. The price to pay to be a disciple is high now. Pastor, I'm not happy. Pastor, I'm not happy. I'll just ask you, why are you not happy? What is there that you are not adding to I am not happy? Say everything. And let's pray about it. You realize that there will be corners and steps of disobedience. The anointing oil will not do everything. People, hear that. Hear it and hear it well. You see, the anointing that came upon David, when they anointed David, it activated all his capacities in him. All that he was doing in the wilderness was activated. There was something heavy in him. And I declare that whatever is in you for your generation, it will not die with your body in the name of Jesus. Receive the grace of the Lord to manifest the gift of God in you. The conscience will be devoid of guilt when we allow the word of God to capture our minds and we walk in obedience. When we allow guilt in, joy will be out. When you allow guilt into your mind, guilt is a very powerful, it's a very toxic thing. I compare it, I liken guilt to the bile in the chicken. You see, when you're killing the chicken, they tell you don't make sure that the bile does not burst. Because it's when you take it, it can kill you. So you must skillfully cut off the bile that. So that the green bar does not mix with the meat. Because immediately it's mixed with the meat, it's dangerous to eat it. That is guilt.
Guilt spoils everything. It can weaken your faith. It can weaken your fellowship life. It can break down your self-confidence. It can make everything become weak in your life. And I pray that there will be no condemnation in your mind by the power of the Holy Spirit after tonight. Instant obedience is what the Holy Spirit needs us to walk in so that we can bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. Do you know joy is the fruit of the Spirit? It's not in alcohol. Joy is not in Guinness. Joy is not in beer. Joy is not in shisha. Joy is not in weed. Joy is not in marijuana. Joy is not in any nightclub. Joy is not in any street jams. No. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a pure fruit of the Spirit. You cannot manufacture it in any brewery. It is a fruit from the Spirit to your spirit due to fellowship. Don't be deceived. Nobody can give you joy. Not your husband, not your wife. You want joy from your wife? Forget it. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has not retired. He's still working. If you fellowship with him, you will walk in great joy. You don't need to have plenty of money to walk in great joy. There are poor Christians who are very happy. Go to the villages. Go to the villages. When you go on Christmas holidays, don't just spend it in your family. Sometimes go to a village church on Sunday morning and see how happy they are. Yeah. Poverty is not what we advocate for. But if you rely on materialism for joy, you will never get joy. That is what I'm talking about. Amen. Amen. Much obedience to God means much joy in the Lord. John chapter 5, verse 10 to 11, NLT version. I may not be able to touch the tray, but let's see what happened. John 5, 10 to 11, NLT. He said, so the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man who was cured, you can't work on the Sabbath. The Lord doesn't allow you to carry the sleeping mat. Verse 11. But Jesus replied, the man who... That's not what I want to. John chapter 15, verse 10 to 11. Mm-hmm. When you obey my commandment, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandment and remain in his love. Verse 11. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Have you seen the connection? Obeying God's commandment will lead you into joy overflow. You are not happy. Why are you not happy? You are not obeying God, period. Oh, this 21st, the Gen Z preacher will say, this, learn to believe in yourself. Learn to do. There is straightforward there. When you are not obeying God's commandment, you will not be happy in him. You will not have joy overflow. This is beyond all those things. This is clear. Go back to the 10 again. Look at it. The amplified version. Let it amplify it well to you. Look at it too. I'm not the one saying it. If you keep my commandment and obey my teaching, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and remain in his love. Many of us are not remaining in the love of God. We are remaining in trends. We are remaining in how to be rich. But God wants you to remain in his love and you will be rich. But we are remaining in how to be rich, which way this, with monetizing everything. Now, even the social media that was meant to make us happy has now become monetized. Everything is geared towards money. People are following football because of betting. The love for football has gone high because many people, Christians, charismatics, pastors, even prophets are prophesying score lines for people to bet. So there are prophets that pastors, Christians, and people will call them. Who do you see winning? Then when they go and stake, And it's taking of lotto. It's not betting. It's lotto. When they do it and they get the money and they send them their share. And you see them in all those things and you are jealous. You shouldn't be jealous. You shouldn't be jealous. He said, if you keep, you see, we want shortcut. We bought some tablets for the kids and we're trying to install and we're struggling because we have placed some limitations somewhere. And the guy, when we called, he said, remove the limitation and install what you have to install. But we're like, no, there's a way to do it. And we found out we had to go and read the manual. We have to read and how to do it whilst the limitation was there. We always, people want shortcut. Easy. Put off the limitation and download. No. That means the child can download anything. He said, if you keep my commandment and obey my teaching, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and remain in my love. The verse 11. He said, I have told you these things so that my joy and delight may be in you and that your joy may be made full and complete and overflowing. I see somebody walking in obedience this year in the name of Jesus. If you keep my commandment, your joy will be full. To have much joy, you must walk in instant obedience. Instant obedience. Let me attempt the last one in 5 minutes. I don't want to do a part two. There are more things to talk about. Today we are talking about diligence in following God's instructions. And that's what we are dealing with. The third one is that instant obedience gives an assurance of your salvation. Instant obedience gives an assurance of your salvation. Instant obedience. And it's very important. So listen to that. Instant obedience. Walking in instant obedience. John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 3 to 6. Short version. Spare me 5 minutes. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandment. Who doesn't understand this one? And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandment. Verse 4. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandment, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. I want to read that one again. If someone claims, please look at the scripture. I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, no matter the tongues he's saying, the Bible is saying that that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. Verse 5. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living. That is how we know we are living in him. Assurance of your salvation is only clear to you that you are saved in this verse. He said, but those who obey God's word truly know how completely, truly show how completely they love him. So when you obey God's word, you are showing completely that you love him. Obedience to God's word is a demonstration of, I love God. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to... Then you are crying. However, it's part of the emotions. But truly, truly, if you love him, the Bible says that you obey him. Verses. He said, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. That is obedience. That is obedience. That is obedience. Instant obedience tells us we are truly born again. Oh, yes. Instant. When you are walking in obedience, it tells you it's easy for a child to obey his father, his mother. Children easily obey. When your father comes, I'll tell him. When you are obeying God consistently, anytime you walk in obedience to God, you receive a sense of assurance. Hello, do I have a witness here? Yeah. You receive a sense of assurance that you are a child of God. If you see, there is a way to know that you are born again. And this is the way. Go to the verse 5 and look at it well. Give us the message version and let's see. Look at it. But the one who keeps God's word is the person in whom we see God's mature love. This is the only way to be sure we are in God. It's a simple thing. It's not complex. Pastor, I don't know whether I am born again. I want to know whether I'm born again. Every time they do altar call, you are there. Please, I'm showing you. After all that, the sure way, give us the amplified version. Now, there's a lot of theologians on Facebook. They should look at the scripture. He said, but whoever habitually keeps his word and obeys his precepts and treasures his message his message in its entirety. In him the love of God has truly been perfected. It is completed and has reached maturity. By this we know for certain that we are in him. If we walk in obedience habitually, we walk in it. If you are doing the opposite, then trouble has come. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23 talks about there are a lot of people in the kingdom. Because of time, we cannot go there. A lot. He said, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, 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 will enter. Only those who actually do the will. In the Old King James, he said, many, many. Go to the Old King James. Many. Okay. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, 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 shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven. Verse 22. Many will say to me. So there are a lot of people who are in church who think that they are born again. Yes, they think they are doing this, doing that. They think, but how do I know that I'm born again for sure? Go to the place I gave you, 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. That is where you will know that you are sure. Even though you are a church member, you may not be born again. We will not know. You and God should know. And how God knows you, how will you know? It's in the 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. The assurance that I'm a child of obedience, not disobedience, is when we habitually, the word habitually is often, usually, obey God. This does not mean that a Christian will not sin. And anytime a pastor says this, he has to clarify himself. Anytime we say that it doesn't mean that a Christian cannot sin, we have to clarify ourselves, because anytime you say it, those who are living a life of sin become comfortable. They're like, okay, a Christian can sin. But the word there is, anytime you sin, it's not equal to a life of sin. It's different. If you are committed to a life of sin, it is not what, that's not what the Bible is talking about there. A Christian is not expected to be perfect, because we will fall. Like, you are a man, you are a human being. You will not get everything correct. You can never get it. But if you are committed to sin, like a meter is on a house, You know, like from here, no, you are going to do, you plotted a sin before you came. You are going to do it after hearing the word. Tomorrow you do it. Next week you do it. Next month you do it. Next, like it's something that you have scheduled and you are not ready to repent of it. Ha! That one is dangerous. That's not what we are talking about. But this Christian, when he is convicted of his sins, he repents. And let's go. Walk in instant obedience. And the reward will be immense. I want you to close your eyes and put your hand on your heart. And begin to pray. Know that after the salvation prayer, after the sinner's prayer, after baptism, after everything, the next thing God wants us to do, Jesus wants us to do, is that we walk in obedience. We walk in obedience. We walk in obedience. Pray that God, I receive grace. It takes God to obey God. It takes God to obey God. It takes God to obey God. I am what I am by the grace of God. If you will be an obedient child, it takes God. It takes the grace of God. Pray for grace. Pray for grace. Pray for grace to walk in obedience. Leka taka bahaya. Rabadaka takabo shigranda bahaya. Iyandele bakoda bahate. Atinini mikaradosaya. Receive grace. Receive grace. Receive grace. Receive grace. Lebra koshata kaba rabadaba daba daba rebadaba yakodaba atenene mekobaya sha empada katala bakonda bahaya rabadaba kashanta atelelele mashopahayas. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20. Look at it. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. Teach these. Give me the old King James, because I want to pull something out. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teaching them to observe. Give me the NLT. Teach these new disciples to obey all my commandments. After the sinner's prayer, after you are baptized, this is where Christ wants us to be. We are taught to obey. We are taught to obey. I pray that you will walk in obedience after tonight. Say a big amen. Oh, say a big amen. Turn to somebody and tell the person, walk in instant obedience.
The message you just listened to is from ICGC Charis Temple. To connect with us, you can like our page on Facebook at ICGC Charis Temple or follow us on Instagram and Twitter at ICGC Charis. We would like to hear of how God is blessing you through this podcast. To support this podcast, please click on the profile button and click on support. Thank you, and God richly bless you.